The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Thursday morning. It's the 4th. Oh, no, it's not. It's the 3rd of December. How about that? Time is crawling. It's not really, though. It's quite exciting. And it's 2020 still, but I think there's a bit of good news in the air. I think we can accept that if we're happy to believe that the future is looking a little brighter with all this talk of vaccines along the way. The text number this morning is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. I kept watching the bits of news bulletins and thinking, you know, there have been, since this thing began, a lot of wartime analogies, you know, that it's like the war and we have the same sort of attitude and we have to be all in this together. And it's been pretty productive in that respect. And as I saw and heard talk of vaccines, maybe with our friends in the north, first of all, maybe in the next couple of weeks, and then take a second tranche of them. And by January, February, some people could be walking around with their essentially COVID passports saying, yeah, let me in, I'm good to go, and open up. But we'll see how that all pans out. But it does strike me that we have to be a little careful. And the only note I strike is not a pessimistic note by any means. But I think we've won the war, but we have to win the peace. And with that in mind, the temptation is on VE Day to jump out in the street and kiss everyone and hug everyone and say it's over. But it's not quite. There's still skirmishes. There's still battles being fought. And the planet still needs a bit to go before we have that moment. That's coming. It's good news. Peace is coming. But we're not quite there yet. And the temptation, and I'll be, you know, looking forward to Christmas. And I was telling the lads, boring, other people's boring dream story. I dreamt I had pints of Guinness in front of me last night. That is pathetic. But I did. I really want. I'm nice to have a bottle of beer, and I'm supporting all the Irish beer makers. And I've had my Kinnegars and my sesh beers and whatever Irish. I'm really enjoying them and all. But I want a pint of Guinness, and that's the truth of it, from a tap. And I've been good, and I'm on the good list. And I just want. And it's going to come, and I'm going to have one next week, I think, all things being equal, if I'm in the right restaurant, and that's exciting. But I have to be careful as well. So I think we can do both. We can live with it, and we can get there. But it's just a little treading careful, that's all, because there's still people that we need to mind and look after. They said that if the vaccine came, that once, I think it was the polio vaccine, Elvis Presley, who's getting a few runs out this week on the show, Elvis took the vaccine on a chat show in America to say, oh, thank you very much, this is fine, I love the vaccine. And he took the vaccine and lashed it into his arm, and Johnny Carson, whoever, said, well, how about that, folks? Elvis Presley took the vaccine. Well done. He took the needle in the arm, and now he's going back to Tupelo, Mississippi. And off he goes. And they're saying over here, I saw Stephen Donnelly, the health minister for health, saying, yeah, he'd do it on live TV, just to say, yeah, come on, let's get into this. Let's do this. In America, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush and Barack Obama have all offered to get the vaccine injected into them on live television. Just to try and take away the mystique, like we did with the swabbing, I suppose, on the late whatever. And, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen when the vaccine comes in, just to say people go for it. I do. I'll happily take that. I took the swab live on TV. I'll take the vaccine live on TV. I'll do whatever I have to do to get us all out of this corner and say, yeah, this is going to be the win for us all, so we can get back to a bit of proper living, eh? Don't we all crave it? We're nearly there. We're nearly there. Honest to goodness, it's just going to be very, very nice indeed. It would be like, says Anive texting in this morning, it would be like getting sunburned on the last day of the holidays. Please mind each other. Well said. You know, just hold. Don't get sunburned on the last. Don't get shot on the last day of the war. You know, because you heard the tanks coming. Freedom. So you don't want that in your life. How about Belgium? In Belgium, having a few people over for Christmas dinner isn't necessarily out of the question this year, but only one lucky guest will be allowed to use the bathroom. So what they're saying is you can have four people over, yeah, and they have more coronavirus-related deaths per capita than any other nation. In little Belgium. And a higher rate of infections over there than all but three other countries. And what they're saying is that anyone inviting guests over needs to have a garden or a backyard that can be accessed without walking through the house. And then one guest, this is like Agatha Christie goes to the toilet, the book she never wrote. One guest is chosen as a close contact and therefore can be allowed use the inside, can be allowed inside the house to use the bathroom. One. So you're sitting there looking at each other going, how many beers do you have? Three. You? Four. You? Two. Ooh. Which one of us... anyone need to? Yeah, but only one of us can go. Kill everyone else, and then you. It's the sign of the times. Other visitors are banned from going inside for any reason, including grabbing a drink, or food, or anything. So if you really have to go to the toilet, you actually have to go home to your own house, and then come back and join the Christmas festivities in the back garden in bed. Yeah, the world is quite mad. So I've got myself involved in watching The Crown. I can't believe it. I never saw myself as somebody who'd be interested in watching, but I've really enjoyed it. As Oliver Callan's Kicks described last week, The Crown, it's like Fair City with better dental work. I thought that was a very funny, astute observation. But it's a very engaging programme, and it makes you feel very comfortable that you don't live in a castle and that you don't rule the world, because it seems like a miserable existence all around. Princess Margaret's beautiful, isn't she? But I wonder if she is gorgeous. I mean, I've seen pictures of her, but she's very, very gorgeous, very attractive in the Crown. And the Queen and Prince Philip have this sort of very fractious, very kind of ugly relationship. Certainly in the first season, only in the first season one. But the Queen, by all accounts, is a very nice person in real life. There's a piece today talking about what she likes to have for a Christmas dinner, just in case you're wondering what do they do. And they would have three turkeys for the Queen and her family, one for the children's nursery, and then more for the 100 or so staff. So everyone had a Christmas lunch. And then royal chefs are under strict instructions not to use strong flavours. The Queen doesn't like garlic, doesn't like onion. And Christmas pudding would be the plum pudding decorated in holly, doused in brandy, and then the palace steward would carry it in flaming into the royal dining room.
Announcing the plum pudding. Everybody, all be standing for the plum pudding.
Flaming pudding. We have the greatest flaming plum pudding in our house on Christmas night. My mother has mastered the art of the heavy hand of brandy over the plum pudding and then the flames. Like something, you know, the waterfalls in Vegas? That's like the flames. They go that high on the plum pudding and Tuberty Towers on Christmas Day, I tell you, so who? And we all then encourage him, two more, really? Yeah, more, the flames. Whoa. Call the fire brigade. Anyway, they have the dessert there. The Queen reportedly eats small portions. She's 94. She likes to have four smaller meal times during the day. To drink, she'll have some gin, maybe Dubonnet, or a flute of champagne. Philip, meanwhile, is an amazing chef and likes an old grill and a barbecue at Balmoral. And the younger royals, William, Kate, Meghan and Harry, all enjoy cooking. The Queen stays out of the kitchen, but she likes to wash up with the marigolds. She puts the gloves on, goes to the log cabin at Balmoral, and she stands there with the marigolds on and she washes up, and then the lady-in-waiting dries. How about that? Do you believe a word of that? You decide. What nice people they are at Bohemians Football Club, Bohemian FC in Dublin. They have they've raised €60,000 to buy presents for 1,500 children in direct provision in Ireland. What a lovely thing to do. And fair play. Dan Lambert is the chief operations officer with Bose there, and he says that everyone is conscious that while COVID has been hard, it's been particularly difficult for families in asylum centres. Well said. And it's been carried out in conjunction with the Movement for Asylum Seekers in Ireland. And their coordinator, Lucy Kambule, said it is important that children in the centres got to enjoy Christmas as much as any, if not more, in fact, given where they are at. So I'm delighted to hear that the gang there have done that. It's in its third year now. They're going to get some presents, some from the Late Late Toy Show, and the presents will be delivered free of charge by DHL. I love when people like DHL get involved and do stuff free. Yeah, free. We'll do it for you for free. It's nice. Not for a discount. For free. Make the difference. You know, we raised €6.5 million last Friday. And 50% of that will go to the three mentioned charities. The other 50%, that's 3 million quid, will be divvied up between children's charities in this country in the next 12 months with complete and corporate governance, and it's going to be so carefully run and managed, and soon we'll be announcing how you can apply for it. But we're going to make, I hope, a difference to all these children's charities around the country, and the children in direct provision should be a beneficiary of that. And by that largesse, I mean yours, you, the Irish people who donated with such gusto on Friday. It was breathtaking. So thank you. And you'll feel the effects of it. And I'll keep you posted on it. I had a very, very warm and fuzzy conversation with the guys over there about how this money is going to be spent and what difference it's going to make. And phone calls we're going to have to make to people to say, yes, we'd like to give you €100,000. Yes, we'd like to give you €10,000. You know, this is what's going to be so gorgeous. And what a difference an evening's entertainment makes. Focus Ireland, meanwhile, they're having the station sessions. That's pretty good, isn't it? I see a tweet by the Riptide Movement, lovely bunch of lads. Can't wait for this. They said, we're going to be joining Focus Ireland, Irish Rail, and Irish legends Mundy and Mary Coughlan, Eleanor McAvoy, and Brian Kennedy from the historic Houston Station. So you can tune into Focus Ireland's Facebook page next Tuesday, December 8th, from 8 p.m. Isn't that lovely? So well done to one and all. That's a lovely initiative. Now, Jason Nace, is that really your name? Say a text to say, what is Olivia Colman's favourite part of the turkey? Oh. Anyone? Bueller? The Crown. Gotcha. You're going to be busy. Would you please mention my favourite bookshop of all time? Yes, Rosemary Rooney. The Rural Drawer. Books Upstairs on Dalier Street. Yeah, beautiful shop. They've just launched a wonderful new website, booksupstairs.ie. You can even go on a blind date with a book. What? You take a chance on a book and they'll send you a book with its own personal ad. That's very clever. I like that. And Matthew's in Cork. He said, just an appreciation text for all the staff in UCC who've made our jobs as students so much easier during COVID. And I've had such a nice approach of balancing academic rigour with empathy and helpfulness and kindness. Well, I must say, hats off to our friends at UCC. What a beautiful campus. I always loved going there. And we went with our friends from the Harry Potter Society, and we often go to the universities when we can. Cork University is lovely. And we had a lovely time the last time. Our Ladies Hospice and Care Services Light Up a Life event will not take place at Harold's Cross this year for the first time in 28 years. Which is difficult because it's their most important fundraiser for the hospice. And it will, though, take the form of a virtual ceremony. Which is obvious for obvious reasons, with fundraised income expected to be down by at least 30% at hospice. They're saying, please help public and from businesses. This is where I always think, if you are a massive business or you're a corporate business and you find yourself thinking, what are we going to spend the money? We have a corporate responsibility to do something. It's charities like this that could really do with your help. This is Our Ladies Hospice, lightupalife.ie. Just go straight there if you can. And sponsor a light. I've heard Daniel O'Donnell was saying, I'm going to sponsor a light for his mother, Julia. And people pick somebody that's important in their lives and they pay for the privilege. And you can get Christmas cards and decorations and gifts, as well as details of opportunities for companies to show their support. That's lightupalife.ie. If you can, great. If you can't, we understand that too. It's really nice. And Gloria Estefan, by the way, if anyone's listening that who's a friend of Gloria's, pass on our best. She has revealed that she had COVID last month. She lost her sense of taste and smell, got tested, positive test, locked herself away, obviously, but she said she's lucky, lost smell, taste, a little bit of a cough, but she's out the other side. What a lovely person. She became a sort of a friend of ours of sorts in recent months, and we appreciate that. Lovely person. Can you please thank RTE and other voices for the concerts last night? Yes. There was Hozier was there, Damien Dempsey and others. We normally go to Dingle, says this text, but we all joined together in our own places and tuned in. We missed Dingle, other voices, but we'll go back. It was good last. I've never been to other voices. I'd say it's a beautiful experience, to be honest with you. And, you know, it'll be there next year. That's the truth of it. Everything is going to be back to normal. It'll be slightly, we'll all be a little scarred, battle scarred, of course, but we will have, we'll be together again. And that is a positive. You know, it's such a lovely time of year for music. And John Creedon, our friend and colleague, plays gorgeous music every night. And he's a lovely voice, as you know, on the radio, and he plays music that can make you want to rock and roll, or music that can soothe the soul. And he tweeted, actually, a lovely message the other evening on that he had received. He's passing on the kindness, which was this year. The message said, "I'm not sending Christmas cards. Instead, I have played Ave Maria on my recorder, and I recorded it just for you. So sit back and enjoy getting in the mood. Merry Christmas." And if John's sharing it with his tweet followers and his radio fans, as we are, we thought we'd pass it on too. Because a nice thing, somebody said, "I'm not sending Christmas cards. I'm just going to record a little song for you. Ave Maria." You can't go wrong. You can't. Sorry, but come on. Did you think I was going to play a short version of that? I could play the whole 4 minutes if you want. Would that be nice? I mean, if you wanted. It, sometimes you just, you need these things in your life. It's 9:20. The very 80s feel to that, obviously, because it was recorded in the 1980s. And Flying Pickets is a very 80s name because it was kind of the Miners, wasn't it? And Strikes and... They would have been kind of named probably after that. I'm spoofing now, but they're... if I'm just hazarding a guess rather than anything else. Kieran in Sligo, following the recorder version of Ave Maria, says, "Please apologise to my little dog, Scruffy, after that so-called musical item. Sorry, Scruffy. You are free to go now for a walk with Kieran around beautiful Sligo." "Well, don't make fun of the recorder, the poor recorder," says Mairead. "Such a great instrument." "What?" "And took for learning about music. Missing our wind instruments in schools these days. You should check out Piers Adams. Now that's what a recorder can do. If you can show me one example of the recorder being played in a meaningful and beautiful way, I will eat my confectional hat." I won't eat one made out of material. One made out of, like those flying saucers with a bit of sherbet. If there's a hat made like that, I'd eat that. Because the recorder just strikes me as being an instrument for three-year-olds. And now I'm going to be shot by the Recorder Association of Ireland, of whom there are probably about 3,000, all listening in saying, "The man's an ignoramus." No, he's an ignoramus. Maria in County Meath says, "The recorder playing was pure joy for me. I'm a recorder teacher." Oh, here we go. Sorry. "And teach in primary schools, but alas, have not been allowed visits since March due to COVID. So your tune brought back memories of gorgeous children trying their best at the recorder. I miss those little treasures." I'd say you do, but I'd say you're... mental health has probably been enhanced by the lack of having to hear them. "Thanks for the mention of UCC. You're welcome. And in turn, thanks to our wonderful students." Oh, that's nice. This is a love-in for the UCC people today. "They are patient and kind and talented." This is from Professor Irene Lynch Fannin at UCC Law Faculty. "Good morning, Professor, and thank you for that lovely message." Rory says, "That John Creedon thing is hilarious, and it does have an amazing eclectic mix of music on his show. And his Ave Maria reminds me of My Heart Will Go On." Well, there, you can listen back to it later on repeat, if you wish. I have two people I'd like to talk to, and I'll bring them to you from our Galway studio in a moment. But first, let me tell you that Gráinne Leach has been in touch with us. Now, I met Gráinne on one of my walks one day, and a chance meeting, as it happens, on the pier in Dunleary, or as we call it, Dunleary. And I said, "There you are, Gráinne." And I didn't know her at the time, but we got on like a house on fire on the pier, and she told me her story and said, "Geez, you must come in and tell us your story on the radio, if you wish." And she said, "I do wish." So I was like, in she came. And she just reminds us that the HSE Disabilities are hosting a webinar in lieu of their annual National Sharing Day today from 11 a.m. to 12:30, because today is International Day for People with Disabilities. And the theme of that webinar is hearing and responding to the voices of disabled people in Ireland. And she herself is presenting at the webinar. It's funny, I saw a webinar and I saw my head saw the word webinar, and what did it come up with in my brain? Wine bar. Isn't that terrible? I'm honestly, yeah, I have serious issues. Webinar is wine bar. Which would you rather go to? A webinar or a wine bar? You can decide. Let's keep going. Her presentation is called Living with a Right Arm Amputation and Creating Awareness of Inclusion, Equality and Diversity. And all the presenters are people living with a disability, and the Minister, Anne Rabbit, will open the event. So sending everyone good wishes to on this International Day for People with Disabilities, and I hope that it goes well. I see Leo in Rathgar says, say hello to all my friends with disabilities and those who do so much to support and care for us. Happy to do that, Leo. And thank you for that. Like I said, I have two people I'm intrigued to meet and bring to your attention this morning. We'll do so after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
That was uplifting to talk to our friends. A good recorder, says a text. A good recorder. That sounds like an oxymoron. Well, played well is a beautiful bell-like sound. Find some good recording music and play it. Oh, we're still looking. Whenever I say, I'm being mean now, I'm trolling you. I don't mean to. We will find some, and by we, I mean Grace, and we will play it for you, and then everyone can decide. Whenever I see it, because Grody was saying after you mentioned I misread webinar as wine bar, whenever I see a van in town that says shop fitters, I always see shoplifters. I used to wonder why they advertise their dodgy profession so openly. Yeah, Grony, you suffer from the mail. I think we're too quick. We read things too quickly and just go, oh, what was that? What else have I got for you? Somebody said happiness is being responsible to and not for somebody else. Oh, that's nice. Volunteering can be a very healing therapy. Thank you, Christine, for those thoughts. Music. This song, do you know sometimes when you're walking around and the song's just swimming in your head and it's just there, and it could be this opening swirl of the music, or it could be a particular riff of the lyric. And for no particular reason, this song is and has been all year in some ways, but it's just so beautiful, and it's 3 minutes. So, you know, it's a nice cup of coffee song and just easy. It's just beautiful. That's the beautiful Wichita Lineman from Glen Campbell. What a gorgeous tune that is. 8 minutes to ten. Don't forget, tomorrow's Late Late Show will be, among other things, a lot of the show will be taken up with the indefatigable, wonderful Sharon Shannon, who we'll be paying tribute to, along with a host of musicians. It's just going to be an awful lot of fun. It's a tale of two Adams. Young Adam King is going to come back to see us, to see how his journey to the moon is going, and we might have a special message for him along the way. And Adam Clayton from U2 will be joining us, as will President Higgins and Gary Barlow, among others. It's going to be quite the night tomorrow night, so do join us. Okay, by the way, Ed, sitting in the car in car park at the hospital in Wexford, we're thinking of you and your wife, and I hope you're okay and you'll get through it together, but we're on your side and we're sending you all our love. That's where we leave it for today. Stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.